recording of an experimental public direct voice seance recorded at the Reading Spiritualist Church through the mediumship of Mr. Leslie Flint on Saturday the 15th of May 1971. The recording commences during the explanatory remarks by Mr. Flint to the audience prior to the seance commencing. Approximately 320 people were present. The local press and also the psychic news were represented, and the seance was very favourably reported both by the local press in the Evening Post and also in the psychic news.
Because, quite frankly, it's taken Douglas I don't know how many years to make me consent to do this. Quite frankly, if I had my way, I wouldn't have any microphones in this cabinet at all. I have never, in the whole of my psychic history, ever allowed a microphone to be in the cabinet. But Douglas feels that, under the prevailing conditions and circumstances, that my health possibly would be affected, and the strain would be too much. And this, I think, if I may say so, in regard to my own mediumship, I cannot speak for others. The many, 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 many times which I've demonstrated in large halls of audiences of 2,000 people, I've always insisted there should never be any microphones inside the cabinet. And the Tannoy system people who put in the equipment, they themselves were absolutely flabbergasted and amazed that the voices could be picked up by a microphone which was outside the cabinet. They said it was absolutely impossible. They themselves tested the equipment. They themselves publicly proclaimed that it was absolutely impossible for the voices to be relayed through the amplification system with the microphones outside the cabinet. But I would myself, even now, prefer not to have these microphones inside the cabinet. And I'm quite happy to do that tonight, even though Douglas has gone to a great deal of trouble, and I appreciate what he's done. But if anyone here is doubtful, and that is only natural and only right that anyone should be, I'm myself more of a researcher after nearly 40 years in spiritualism, and I have subjected myself time and time and time again to the most rigid tests. I have given tests for scientists under the most extraordinary conditions which they could possibly conceive and suggest, and I've always given myself willingly to scientific research, and we have had remarkable manifestations in spite of all the problems and the difficulties. And as I said before, as far as I'm concerned, all I want is for you to go away and have something to think about. I don't expect that a large number of you will go away necessarily convinced of survival. I mean, how can you be expected to accept something straight off without personal experience? I've always said that the only evidence that really matters is that which you yourself receive. You may listen to voices, which I'm sure if we get them tonight, and I hope that God will, we do, but the point is, they will, if they are successful, I'm sure will be impressive. We have had many bad voices, sometimes as many as 30 or 40 even, at a demonstration in the past. But I can't say what the results are going to be. I can only hope and pray that all of you will feel that we have been a little bit nearer to the other side, and that some of you at least will receive some personal message. There is no guarantee about this. This is an experiment, purely an experiment. And I just ask each one of you, no matter what your outlook may be, what your feelings may be, what your opinions may be, to keep a completely and absolutely open mind. Analyze what happens, dissect it, pull it to pieces, do what you like afterwards. But during this session, I ask you only one thing, to be cooperative. If you are spoken to, if a voice calls your name, or if you feel that someone is endeavoring to communicate with you, speak to the voice. Even if you cannot fully understand or accept the voice, speak to it, ask questions. And you know it has been said, test the spirits. Well, this is your opportunity to test me as a medium and test the spirits. And I can only say that with your love and your kindness and your cooperation, we, I hope, will have a happy evening.
There's a young man here. I don't quite know if he's ever communicated. The service for which we are assembled is an act of thanksgiving for the young life which we believe is in the very nature of God, and which we pray may honour for the source of its being. It is a recognition of the duty of the parents and guardians to train this child in the ways of spiritual growth that lead to God. It is an act whereby we dedicate ourselves to serve the well-being of the child in all its phases of life. Gladness, hope, and thanksgiving mingle in our worship, for we see in children the promise of the things we fain would have accomplished. We realize that the happiness of future days may depend upon the way that we fulfill our responsibilities to them, and we are glad with the hope that the burden we carry in the years to come will be borne by these young and strong souls who will follow us. We welcome this child as a member of our spiritual community. We pray for power that we may rightly serve her development in the ways of truth, love, and of religion. We ask for wisdom so to order our actions that we need at no time be ashamed of the example we offer. And above all, we ask for help and guidance and inspiration that we may have the love, the patience, and the deep understanding which may serve this child in times of trial and of strain. Being a family occasion, I'm sure that you will permit us a little license today for perhaps a normal formality of these services. And when I say it's a family occasion, I'm pleased to welcome some of our dear members and colleagues here who come along on this day out of love and service, that they may join in this service of dedication. And it would be a peculiar grandfatherly paternal feeling if I didn't express the joy and the happiness which it gives me to be able to dedicate this radiant little soul to the service of God and to the benefit of humanity. There is little that I need say. Many of you have attended many christening services in the past. You may find this service slightly different, but certainly not less sincere in its application and its intent with those services to which we are used. But because we feel as a community we have as deep a sense of reality, of spiritual verities, and the need for spiritual power and guidance of our Heavenly Father, and it matters not under what label people pursue their pathway of life. The essential is that in sincerity of their hearts, they follow the dictum which they find is beneficial to them. And therefore, we welcome today all those of whatever faith, or even of none, into this temple, knowing that you come in love and in service. And make no mistake, the vibrations of love which are expressed are a very, very tangible thing, and though they may not be seen, they at least can be felt. And this service, it cannot do anything but uplift this little soul who as yet has no knowledge or understanding of the things which individually we may profess, but nevertheless a combined love of you all, the fact that you have come here today, the sponsorship which communally you have given, cannot do anything but uplift that little soul and be an essential part of her life in the years to come. Because it's a sad thing when we think that often these ceremonies are becoming bypass today. There is not the regard for the deep sincerity of purpose and the love of spiritual things that there was years ago. But on the other hand, perhaps we are getting a greater comradeship, perhaps in a secular sense. So who are we to say that people are wrong in pursuing a different way of thought to what we do? Now, I thank you all from the bottom of my heart for coming along to join with us today as we bless this little life. So shall we join together in singing hymn number 367, which is by request, All Things Bright and Beautiful, All Creatures Great and Small. After that, we will, after the prayer, we will sing the sung version of the Lord's Prayer, which you will find at hymn number 18. Hymn number 18 for the sung version of the Lord's Prayer. And we will now sing hymn number 367, the first two and the last two verses, All Things Bright and Beautiful. Safe to us for the earthly pilgrimage before returning to those realms of light. And we would pray indeed, O Father, as we give thanks for this life, that we might have thy inspiration, thy guidance, and thy love, that we may at all times set an example by precept and by action, which will lead of this little life into the pathways of spiritual knowledge and stature and the pathways that lead to thee. We would pray indeed, O God, for the parents of this little one, that they might be more than blessed by the love of this, their offspring, and that they too shall have deeply ingrained upon their consciousness the responsibilities which they have to this little one, that they at all times shall bring this little one up in a spirit of harmony and love, that they shall, so far as possible, protect it from the evils of life, but indeed at all times give it courage to cement those evils. We would pray too, O Father, that the vicissitudes and trials of life should not be taken from it, but rather in the knowledge of thy love and spiritual verities, it may receive that courage and that strength which shall overcome these vicissitudes, and which shall enable her to stand erect in the knowledge of thy love as a citizen of thine in service to thy children of earth. We dedicate this child to thee, O God, and we do indeed pray that thy ministering ones of that larger life shall be ever around to share their love, their healing, and their protection. It has been said indeed that the angels of light are ever around the little children. It has been said, suffer the little children to come unto me. And we would pray, O Father, for the beneficence of thy love at this time. You would not forget all children, wherever they may be at this time. O Lord, we know only too well the sufferings of little children throughout the world, the hands of the inhumanities to man. We would pray at this time, as we link up with joy in our hearts for this little life, so too we would pray for the happiness and the health and the sustenance of all of thy little ones who suffer, wherever they might be, that they may indeed have some of the love which will be and is being showered upon this little one. And we pray indeed that the brotherhood of man might come into the hearts of the leaders of men, that these things shall cease, and that there shall be peace in our land, and that the little children shall be safe to grow up in love and in happiness, with sufficient food, clothing, and a shelter for the needs of their physical body, and that in turn they shall have that teaching and instruction, as we pray these little ones shall have, regarding the spiritual things of life, because without that spiritual progress, without that love of service which comes from the heart and the knowledge of thy love, no happiness can truly be great or real, O Father. And therefore we pray for thy love at this time, as we give thanks for the love of this little one. Amen. Lead mankind to greater altitudes. We have learned by our communion with spirit friends, those dear arisen ones who help us to sustain our pilgrimage through life, that God does not call upon us to cleanse this or any infant from inherent sin, that the children of mankind are not conceived in sin and misshapen in iniquity, as so often been taught in the past, but they are verily the blossoms of divine love, born in accordance with God's wonderful law. No handicap but that of inexperience as a burden of childhood. Is there one among you of mature years, whether a parent or not, who would not desire for every infant such conditions and development as shall ensure the complete and perfect ripening of the life which is yet so young and tender? Would you then attribute to the God of love and wisdom anything less than you would claim for yourselves? You will have often gazed in admiration of the beauty and purity of the flowers, which so abundantly grow in the earth, their scent and colour, simplicity and complexity, making you bear your head in reverence to Him who is the Creator of all. How much more, then, should we revere the beauty and purity of the human flowers with which He graces the earth? It is therefore no process of cleansing from sin that we perform, for who are we that we should dare attempt to cleanse a flower so unsullied? No magic key of faith or belief have we, whereby our little sister may be ensured an entry into the world of spirit. No, rather let us join together with one harmonious accord to inspire this little child with the high ideals of right living and of deeds well done, so that the kingdom of heaven may be cultivated within, and the divine spirit thus find expression through a well-ordered life. No two or three sponsors will suffice. All you who now bear witness are jointly and severally responsible for the future spiritual well-being of this infant. For as God has revealed to you His truth, He teaches you your duties to His children. See then that you hear His call and express your praise and thanksgiving in your conduct towards this little one.
Those dear friends who have undertaken this consecration of sick infant, this loving little lagging soul, I should be doing less than my duty if I did not charge you not to accept the sponsorship lightly, but rather that you should accept at all times that upon the adult mind always rests. On faith rests the teaching of these little ones. And with their orthodox friends who say, give me your child and the world keeps 11 years of age and the world from having not. They are very, very true, that is, in the 10 years of infancy, young manhood, young boyhood, when there is such sensitivity, we must do all that we can to sponsor, to encourage the progress of that divine spark, that conscience which is within us, to bring these little ones into the knowledge of spiritual things. And therefore, as I thank you for your interest and your love towards this, I ask you to remember my words on this day of dedication. And there, concentrating all our love, with these flowers, emblems of purity and grace, and symbolic of the love of our Heavenly Father for all of the children, do we bestow upon you, in God's name, the names of Susan Margaret,
And we pray that the blessing of God may indeed be with you, that you shall grow not only in grace physically and materially, but you shall grow in grace spiritually, be a blessing to your parents, to all with whom you come into contact, to the earthly pilgrimage of life, and that always you will remember your duty to God and to his children. God bless you, Suzanne Matthews. I don't think that we need fear, either her courage or her initiative, going through that ordeal, in the way that she did. God bless her, and God bless you all. So now, shall we close this little service by singing hymn number 37. We will sing again the first two and the last verse only, the first two and the last verse of hymn number 37, O Worship the King, All Glorious Above. Yeah.